We are back. My name is Chris. I'm here with my co-host, Amanda, if you haven't listened to us before, and we are the hosts of Vocal Perspective. We've taken a little bit of a break. Things have been just brewing, and we've been working on lots of really great events coming up, but we are ready to get back and bring these powerful female voices to you. We're so excited. Our first guest back is Miss Natalie Fedden, live with us from the UK. It's pretty exciting. I always love talking to our fellow a cappella and music lovers across the pond, as we might say. So welcome, Natalie.
Oh, hi, Chris. Hi, Amanda. It's so great to be talking to you today, finding out what you're about over in the States.
And we're so excited to learn more about you. Yeah. And what you've been up to, because, you know, the whole impetus for bringing on the show is we've got quite a big event coming back, and it's a live event. So, I mean, you can't see our faces on the podcast, but it's all, we're beaming because live events are coming back with their challenges, but back. So tell us a little bit about you and your role with Labs.
So I'm the chair of, we have 60 clubs in our association, which go right from the bottom of the UK in Cornwall, right up to the very top in Aberdeen. And anyway, we're flourishing. You know, it was a bit of a worry during lockdown, but we found what a fabulous community we have amongst our choruses. And we consider on the Labs board that we're kind of the parent family. And, you know, we've got all these little satellite families all over the country. And we did reasonably well during lockdown. You know, obviously, thank goodness for Zoom. You know, we had all our rehearsals on Zoom. We even had our first convention on Zoom. But, you know, you learn so much from it, don't you? You're just absolutely fabulous, you know. And when we had so many, you know, elderly and vulnerable people within our choruses, you know, they were just living for the weekly rehearsal on Zoom each week. You know, some of them got a bit more technical and were using Jamulus and were actually able to, you know, hear each other in terms of the sound. But, you know, we're carrying on actually with Zoom in some cases. You know, some people are still a little bit frightened to come back to rehearsals. And so we're finding there's a hybrid with rehearsals. You know, the majority of people do come. Occasionally one or two maybe wear a mask. But then the ones that can't come, you know, they're able to watch on Zoom to see what they're missing out on. So, yeah, it's been exciting.
For those of you who are tuning in that might not be in the barbershop world, LABS stands for the Ladies Association of British Barbershop Singers. Am I correct there, Natalie? Did I get that?
That's absolutely right. Yay. Yeah.
So we like acronyms in the barbershop world, especially. So do you a cappella people. So don't even lie. And I just wanted to lay that out, that Natalie is, what is your exact role with LABS?
Well, I'm the chair of the association. So, you know, nothing goes past, well, everything goes past me, really. I'm responsible for everything, you know. Oh, my goodness. Oh, what a role, really. And, you know, I did wonder when I first was asked to apply for the role, because I hadn't actually been in barbershop that long. But I found that the minute I started singing barbershop, I couldn't stop grinning, you know, and I was just so happy. And, you know, and when the sounds go marvelously, you just feel $1 million. Almost as soon as I started, they asked me to be chair of our club. And then within a few years, they've asked me to be chair of Labs. Amazing. And my enthusiasm seems to go, it's unbounded, really, because I'm still grinning. I still absolutely love it. And, you know, coming out of COVID, I was really concerned that I wanted all of our clubs to feel involved and feel part of our big family. And so that's why I've kind of set on this mission of traveling all around the country to meet everybody. And the bonus for me is I get to sing with every club. So, you know, it's fab. We at Labs, we have polecats. I don't know if you have something similar. And we have about 10 or so polecats that, you know, all the clubs sing. So wherever I go, they'll sing a couple of them, you know, and I can join in. And I love it. You know, I go and join in the physical warm-up, the vocal warm-up. We'll do a couple of polecats. And then often people will say, oh, can you do question and answers, asking about what's going on with Labs? And then I'll say, well, what would you like to see out of Labs? You know, we just want to be as an inclusive association as we possibly can, really. And We've got 60 clubs, but only 30 clubs generally compete at convention. Sometimes that's to do with the location. We have our current convention, which happens next week, is down in Bournemouth, which is on the south coast. And then next year's convention will be in Harrogate, which is going towards the north, near Leeds, past Manchester, you know, up that way. So you tend to find that, you know, more clubs from the north will go to that because, you know, it's logistics and costs and things like that. But with me travelling, you know, other clubs that don't ever compete, you know, are just happy to turn up once a week and sing together and maybe sing, you know, in local festivals and fetes, you know, that actually don't want to compete, you know, they're still part of our association. They still pay a fee to us. And, you know, I'm really keen that we recognise them and value them as members. And so it's been really, really successful, actually. It's fabulous. And what also we've been doing is we're just so mindful of the fact that everybody pays a fee, that we're saying, well, let's show them, you know, what they get for the money. And obviously we have polecats. We're really keen on education, doing education sessions. We did a lot of those online. I mean, next year we'll be doing a Harmony College, which will be up in Nottingham, and 300 or 400 people can come there and they will learn two new songs and then they will get to sing that all together, and we'll probably have some educators over from the States. So, you know, that's something to look forward to. And then, you know, obviously we've been looking at trying to build our clubs coming out of COVID. So we've now got all these Love to Sing courses and resources on our website. So all clubs can kind of log into that and see, you know, what they can do, what other clubs are doing to recruit new members. And we're kind of sharing all the news around. So yeah, it's going really well.
That sounds amazing.
Chris and I are like totally wrapped right now. We're like,
I can drive on the other side of the road. Like I could just shuttle people from the airport to Harmony College. Like I could do that. Like I've practiced. I just want to touch base on what I thought was, like, as a member of two organizations that provide very similar things, it's hard to see where your money is going. And I think it's awesome that you're actually trying to show your members, because without your members, do we even have an organization? No, it's like, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, the members came first. Without the members, there is no organization. So it's just heartwarming and inspiring to hear somebody say, look, we're going to show you where your money's going. And it's not just them. You're a member too, right? The people who are sitting on the board running this organization, they're members as well. So it's important to them to prove that as well to the, even themselves. I just think that's really great.
Well, I mean, that's what I find, really. You know, when I go and talk to clubs, I say, you know, I'm a member just like you. And of course, the association doesn't work without volunteers. And so it's been really useful, you know, going around traveling and being able to find volunteers. And you know, they're really easy to spot because the volunteers are the ones that have got the biggest smile, because they just love a cappella barbershop singing so much and it means so much to them. And then you say, oh, would you like to help out with this? And they say, oh, of course I will. So, you know, kind of a win-win situation, really.
So yeah. What you're saying is, don't be afraid to ask people for help. They're there. You can find them.
Well, I think, you know, in terms of our board, I did wonder whether people thought we were a bit elitist, you know, and people wondered how they got there and whether the people on the board were different to any of the members. And so, of course, in my travelling, I can show that, you look, I'm just a member just like you. And we value everybody's expertise. And we know that that expertise is in the clubs. And sometimes, you know, we put out an advert, but people are frightened to step forward. I mean, I've got a really great example. I went down when I very first started down to Cornwall, and I visited this group, and often the groups go to the pub afterwards. I love that. So, because the thing is, the rehearsals are so busy, you know, they're structured to get the most out of the singing. And, you know, there's very little time often for chit chat and actually getting to know the members. So on this occasion, we went to the pub afterwards and I was chatting, and the PR girl had been marvelous, and she was showing me all the stuff that she did, and all, oh, it was amazing, and how she was recruiting new members and how what she was putting on Instagram. Anyway, of course, I took her number. And the next day I messaged her and I said, oh, what would you think of editing our online magazine? Well, we have an online magazine and we have a print version, and we were without an editor, and we had been advertising for a good 4 months, nobody responding. Now, this young lady, she would never have thought of applying. And so she said to me, oh, Natalie, what does it entail? And I said, well, if you go on our website, you can click on all the past editions of our voice books and you can see the content, and you'd be in charge of the content. You'd have editorial's discretion to choose what goes in there. Anyway, she thought about it for a couple of days and she's taken it on. Well, she has revolutionized VoiceBox, you know. So, of course, I do this traveling. Wherever I go, I produce a vlog so that all the other clubs can hear that club singing. And it's fabulous. It really unites the country. They all see the repertoire that other groups are singing. And what we often do is we'll have an article in the magazine and then there will be a link to the singing. So it's gone more than a magazine now. It's more than just the editorial. You've got all this music going on everywhere. So, and that was all from me chatting in the pub.
And how great would it be if somebody new to your area were to pull up your magazine and be like, I wonder if there's anybody near me that sings, and they could, or somebody says, hey, you know, there's a chorus, you want to hear them? And a member pulls it up and says, look, and it's clean and it's crisp and it's well planned and it's intentional, but it's barbershop. It's what you're doing. It's labs. It's a true depiction of what they could be walking into at that rehearsal on any day.
I mean, you know, as I said, I've been doing all this traveling, and Rob Mance, of the MD of Central Standard, has been doing an awful lot of coaching, traveling all over the country, and our choruses have been sharing the cost of his travel. But anyway, he said to me, oh, Natalie, why don't you come and watch one of our rehearsals at BHS in Charlotte? And anyway, so I went and I watched their final rehearsals, and they did a vlog with me, and it was just fabulous. And I just felt I was so lucky. Anyway, they sang The Impossible Dream. And, you know, it was like an impossible dream just for me coming true. You know, how fabulous. All these guys just singing to me. It was amazing.
It's wonderful. And I often tell people, like, my chorus asks all the time, like, how do we find new people? I'm like, well, where can they go listen to you? And they're like, well, we have like a clip from 20 years ago here, or a clip from five, you know, they just talk about like random old day. I'm like, no, how can they hear what you sound like right now? Because if they hear it, they'll come. Like, they really will. Like, so many people, if they are looking for a place to sing, if you just let them hear Barbershop, I'd say 8 times out of 10, you got a new member. But it's that daunting process of, oh, well, we can't put that up, it's not perfect, or, oh, that's not polished, or, oh, that's not rehearsed. It's like, no. That's not what stuck you the first time. The first time is when you walked into a lobby and 7 tags were being sung at the same time, absolute chaotic noise. And you were like, what is this? Put me in, coach.
Well, we're finding that the singing makes you feel great, but it's that sense of community and family that's there in each of these choruses, and just how they support each other. And I mean, the MD at our chorus, she'd done a thesis on singing and mental health. And she said, you know, when you sing, you feel great. But when the singing is perfect, you feel $1 million. And then imagine singing it with a group of friends. You know, it just makes it better still. And then all these girls go along to convention together. They do retreats together. They go away for the weekend. You know, they're making friends for life. And then they're having fun singing together. I mean, what's not to like, really?
And that's so important, especially like as we, I want to say we're getting into conventions, you know, competition season, but I feel like now barbershop competition season just is a 12-month long cyclical process. But sometimes we forget because we do get wrapped up in, you know, seeing the best of the best on the stage. And it is a wonderful experience. But then to go in a room with Central Standard and they're not on stage, but just to get to know them as humans and then have them sing with you or for you, like that's what pulls me in. And I love that.
Well, I mean, as I say, you know, with our association, we want it to be inclusive as possible. And we've got some, you know, real high flying choruses that make the most amazing sound and put a lot of choreography in. And, you know, it's always bang, really. But, you know, all choruses have got so much value, and you can just see the joy in the members' faces that the singing brings them. And when that barbershop chord hits, I mean, you know, that resonant sound, just absolutely phenomenal. But, you know, it isn't all about the top choruses. You know, it's about the whole membership and the joy that it really brings. And, you know, I must admit, when I first came in to barbershop, I was thinking, oh, it sounds a bit old-fashioned. But I did think, going to Charlotte, you know, how the repertoire is changing. You know, it's becoming much more modern now. It's appealing to the younger people. And, you know, I can see a massive future for barbershop singing.
Absolutely. I mean, look at the groups that went home, you know, with medals, the choruses. I mean, Music City Chorus, that there was no, I mean, there was some traditional barbershop in there, but it was almost done in jest. They were almost making fun of the organization as a whole there, and like not making fun, but just like poking fun at ourselves. And it was, I mean, I haven't seen a standing ovation like that in a long time.
I've never seen a set like that. That was like, it was parody, wasn't it? It was so amazing. And how they were able to pick up the pieces from each of the top choruses. I mean, just absolutely amazing, because we went to Sean Divine's rehearsal there, you know, and, you know, they carried in their kind of blocks that they all lean on, you know, leaning us, singing on the dock of a bay, wasn't it? Absolutely incredible. I also went to Ambassadors of Harmony rehearsal as well, and I watched them flinging that man up in the air. And then, you know, to see it all put in a parody, and then 20 minutes long, that set, wasn't it? Absolutely.
It was amazing.
Incredible.
And I would watch it over and over again.
And I was going to say, Amanda, when you said that, I have never, and I will say this, and I've been a barbershopper since I was born, I have never shared with random friends of mine so many videos from one contest. Like, I have never, because they're releasing them now. BHS is putting them up, and it's amazing. I have sent so many people just, I'm like, oh, you got to watch this one. And then you got to watch this one. Oh, well, this one was really great too. Oh, and there was this one. I was like, oh, and there was this one. And in the past, I have appreciated and loved all of the music I've heard, but it's not always share worthy or something that you might think that everyone could relate to. I know I've spent many years of my life being like, well, only a barbershopper will understand this. No, we're getting into a place in a cappella where musicians will understand this. And I think that's what we have to do. Barbershoppers are easy to find. New barbershoppers are hard to find. And so I think remembering that people are looking for community, they don't care about a score when they walk in your door for the first rehearsal. Most of them, some might, but most people are like, I want to hang out with these really awesome people. Oh, and they make good music? Check. Like, this is a bonus. So I think we have to remember that, you know, musicians are out there. We just need to let them hear what we do and show them what made us smile and what sucked us in the very first time.
But just knowing that, like, so many of our choruses, when you turn to somebody else in your chorus or in your club, like, is this the first time they've ever been in a barbershop chorus? A lot of them would say yes. And to know that we have to reach out to them and make it accessible to them. And then they get in and it becomes something special. They get involved in the culture, but the culture isn't what brought them there. It was like, I just want to sing with cool people. And they just do this style that's different than what I'm used to.
I think that's it. I must admit, yesterday I was singing at a funeral. And anyway, a lady who I'd never met and I'd never heard of before had belonged to my chorus many moons ago and used to go to all the conventions, and it meant the world to her. And so her family said, would my chorus go and sing at funeral service? And so we went and sang two songs, and we sang Let Me Be There and Somewhere Out There. And, you know, the congregation were just so appreciative, you know, and they said, oh, you sound like angels. And it was just, it was so lovely. You know, when people think barbershop is niche, you know, there we were singing at this funeral, and it just seemed the most normal thing to do, really. And then, you know, it just highlights each section's voice, and it just sounded so beautiful that now as you can see, I'm very passionate about barbershop and what it means to people, you know, and everywhere I go, you know, people have got all these stories of the friends they've met over the years, and, you know, they always meet up at convention. And recently I've been to Bristol and they had a 45th anniversary show, and they came out with story after story of going to convention, people losing their shoes and makeup mishaps. And, you know, it just the memories just meant so much to them, and they were just such a lovely family, and you could tell they're just so excited about our convention next week. But I think that, my goodness, I think the competition's going to be really hot, because I think it was so difficult during COVID, you know, with Zoom and not being able to hear each other. And then, you know, clubs have got back together and the sound is better. You know, people are taking more responsibility for learning their parts, and the sound is just great. I mean, it's absolutely phenomenal. Everywhere I go, you know, you can just tell people are putting so much time and effort into making sure they get those sounds just right. And yeah, I can't wait for next week's convention. It's just going to be, well, it's going to be the best ever, because normally we would have retiring champions who wouldn't be able to sing, and they would be manning the doors. And then, of course, we've been 3 years without a convention. So we've said, you know, anybody, everybody can compete this year. And so, you know, it's going to be the toughest competition ever, really. And the great thing is we've got some new kids on the block. So, you know, they're going to be thinking, well, we've got, you know, two or three clubs who have always been up there. But, well, I'll tell you, we've got some new kids coming along, and I think they're going to give them a run for their money.
That was so fun in Charlotte, I have to admit, when you're so right. Used to what they did last year. And are they going to do the same thing? And is it going to be blah, blah, blah? I didn't have anything to compare it to, and I didn't know what they had been working on. And they had over 2 years to like pick whatever they wanted. They weren't rushed. And I just could not, every time a quartet came out, I'm like, that's new. That's new. That's so cool. Wow. And maybe I forgot something, so it felt new to me, but I think you were right. Like, they were able to approach contest in a completely different way, because we took it out of their narrative for a bit, and then they, like, contest became an event, not a destination, and it was kind of cool. How many people do you have competing? I know you mentioned that usually you have like half, but how many do you have like signed on to come?
So we have got 30 clubs signed on to come. And so this year, because I'm kind of a champion for the smaller chorus that doesn't compete, we've actually got three categories. So we've got the general competition as normal, and then we've got singing for evaluation. So we've got about four clubs that are just going to sing for a score but won't be entered into the competition. And my little club, who really don't want to compete, we are going to be singing for joy. So we're going to sing and we don't want evaluation. We're just going to go up there and we're just going to have a ball and have a great time. And yeah, so.
Oh, I love that.
Can we all have like the singing for joy category at the events? I would love that.
I think that because I'm in a chorus
that doesn't like competing either. Most of our chorus is just likes to come and hang out and doesn't want to compete, but we go because it means that's how we get to be involved with everything. But we're like, I mean, we showed up at our area contest in chucks and jeans, and like, we were like, you know what? We're just here to sing two songs, because if we sing two songs, we get to go and sing two more songs and hang out with everybody else. But whatever, I'm the score. And I think there's a place for that at our bigger convention. So I'm so excited that you're doing that.
And yeah, if a chorus comes in, they sing for joy, maybe in a couple times or even the next time, they'll sing for score just to dabble their toe in the water. And then maybe they'll be like, oh, well, we got better when we knew what we needed to work on and we had evaluation. Maybe we will try the contest. Or they might just keep coming back and singing for joy. And it's a win-win for everyone. Nobody loses.
Yeah, they're all really pleased that my chorus is going to be doing that. And I think, you know, it'll get rid of some of the fears and then make people realise, you know, it's inclusive. It's for everybody to have a go. And I'm also thinking, you know, our guys that are going to sing, they'll get on that stage. I actually think that the barbershop audience is the most wonderful audience. You know, they just will you to do well. They cheer you on. You know, it's fabulous. You can see a sea of smiling faces. You know, and I'm hoping we'll get off the stage and they'll say, oh, that was rather good. You know, let's do that again. So anyway, we shall see. But we've got 20 quartets. So we start off with the quartet competition on the Friday, and then that gets whittled down to 10. And then we'll have the final 10. And then on the Saturday, we've got the chorus competition. And then on the Sunday, we've got a bit of a show going on in the morning. And in the afternoon, we've got the mixed quartet competition going on, because I'm seeing now with all this traveling that I'm doing, you know, that mixed singing is taking off in such a big way. You know, people just love singing, and those people who are really passionate about barbershop would just want any opportunity to sing, you know, with a quartet, a chorus, a mixed quartet, a mixed chorus. You know, they just want to sing anywhere, anytime, really. So yeah, we've got our mixed quartet competition on the Sunday, which involves Babs members and Sweet Adeline's members as well. But the great thing for me this year, you know, I went to the Sweet Adeline's convention in Phoenix, and I was wondering, you know, what it was going to be like and how it would differ from Harmony Inc. and BHS. And I know their show sets are different, you know, the way they introduce them and stuff. But basically, you know, it's barbershop singing exactly the same. You know, all the big names of barbershop were there. You know, Sandy and David Wright, you know, were there. Sean Devine was there. You know, all these names that you saw at BHS, they were all at Phoenix, you know, helping along. And I'm just thinking, you know, we need to be one big family, really, you know, all supporting each other, learning from each other. So, yeah, I was really...
And despite what you might hear or think, there really is enough barbershop for everyone. And like, you can, all the organizations can exist. Everything can happen. Everyone can be involved, and nobody has to lose anything. It's just more. You get more. And I think differences make us better. I think similarities make us better. I think conversations make us better. If we don't open our doors and we don't open our eyes and our hearts, that's when your membership, that's when you're going to die. That's when your organization's going to implode on itself. Like, you got to just open yourself up for everything. Like I said, Labs is on my bucket list.
Well, I'm so pleased because of my travels. You know, I've met so many barbershop leaders and they all want to come to our convention. So, of course, we've got, you know, we've got Alba Hayes from IABS coming, and then we've got Anna Cadellas, who's on the Sweet Adelines board. She's coming, and she's part of Nordic Light in Sweden. And then we've got Leonie Vink coming over from Holland. So, you know, and we've got a lady coming over, Marina Mew, I think, from Spain. So it's great, you know, all these associations are coming over to see what we do. And, you know, it'll be lovely to see and to share experiences with them.
And now you've got an a cappella community of a bunch of people who aren't actually barbershoppers yet. I'll just always put that yet in there, a cappella singers.
It's just a yet.
It's just a yet.
I mean, you brought me in. It was a yet until 5 years ago. I was contemporary all the way for 20 years. And then 5 years ago, I'm like, let me give this barbershop thing a try. I like these people.
And it's a part of the reason I wanted to do this podcast so much is that I saw such drive and passion with Amanda in her a cappella, you know, contemporary a cappella world. And I was seeing that flood over into barbershop, and she brings that. I'm like, we need to open this up. We got to get more. We got to find more Amandas. I mean, there's really only one Amanda, but there's like baby Amandas out there, and I know we can find them. And just showing our listeners in the UK, showing our listeners in the US that there's more singing out there that you have yet to discover. Just go find it. It's there.
And the contemporary a cappella, like as I'm hearing you think about it and hearing you talk about all of these choruses that are the clubs that are all over the UK, I'm just thinking about the contemporary scene. The collegiate scene in the UK has massively grown over the last 10 years. And where are all those singers going after they graduate? They need to know that this kind of community is out there for them, because so many people get involved in contemporary a cappella and there's a good community when they're in college. And then when they graduate, they're like, okay, now I'm lost. Like, I need to find my people. So like your lab sounds like a great place for them to find their people.
We are finding in the UK that, you know, that is happening in our universities. You know, there's a Manchester University Barbershop Society. You know, they're huge, really young people, really loving it. And we've got a lot of young people that have graduated from Bristol University and they've become judges and MDs. And we are actually finding, you know, the younger demographic are really enjoying being part of labs. I've been really quite surprised. And in fact, going to Babs convention earlier in the year, I mean, the standard of the quartet competition, and the guys were so young. I mean, it was absolutely phenomenal. And I was thinking that, you know, originally, you know, barbershop was a bit old hat, and there are all these youngsters and Meantime Chorus who won at Babs. I mean, their average age is 35, 40, I think. You know, they're phenomenal what they do. And they're coming to sing at Labs next week. So we're going to see what they do. And we've got Limelight, the Babs quartet winners. They're coming to strut their stuff as well. But it's lovely to see so many young people. I mean, in Labs, we have a youth chorus, so that kind of spans the whole country as well. So they meet up in Birmingham once every couple of months. And generally, they're kind of barbershop brats, as you were saying, Chris.
That's me.
But recently I went to Birmingham and was visiting a chorus there where actually the youth chorus rehearse. And there were four young girls in this chorus. And I'm saying, do you belong to the youth chorus? And they said, no, we didn't realise. So, of course, I signed them up immediately. And then this lady was saying, well, do you know, I've got contacts in primary schools. You know, we could go round to the primary schools and do some singing and show young people what barbershop is about. And I was thinking, well, this is the way to get the word out. But when I was in Ireland, I was lucky enough to speak to a young lady from Sing Ireland. And she was saying that there in Ireland, there's 229,000 singers, you know, and she is trying to get all these singers to get together and do kind of mini festivals. And so that everybody can then, you know, get a taste of other people's music, you know, and then you draw in an audience. And then the audience has the opportunity to see all these different genres of music going on.
I'll tell you, I've been in Ireland one time. And even when I was there, I randomly saw a singing festival being advertised on the television. I was like, this must be a thing. Just as, and then there was broadcast on there. They were broadcasting singing festivals on Irish television. I'm like, wow, this singing is important here. And so I think it's amazing. What we find, at least I see in the US, is that we can get young singers in, we can hook them, like when they're in high school or college, and we can get them in. It's keeping them that's the problem. And so to me, that means whatever we're providing or giving back to the membership is not serving our youth in a way, or even our young adults. I don't even want to say this isn't just high school kids. This is like what Amanda said, post-collegiate young adults who we've hooked them in, and their schools have taken them to conventions, and they've given them music and brought in clinicians. And then it just sort of like, well, now you have to figure out how to motivate yourself. And I think that's what we're missing a little bit over here.
Well, I think it's very difficult, you know, with women having children and, you know, getting childcare to be able to come to rehearsals. I mean, I have seen a couple of tiny babies at rehearsals, and I did at Babs. This couple had just had a baby, and the father was an MD, so he was there doing that. And then I went to see them at Sweet Adeline's Region 31 convention, and the baby was a couple of weeks older, and the wife was singing in a quartet. And then I went somewhere else. Oh, that was it, the prelims, our lab's prelims for our quartet competition. And there was the baby a bit older, you know, about 4 months by then. But it's not normal. But I will say that I went to visit this group up in Sheffield, and their demographic was much younger, and they meet once a month. And anyway, they are very successful. They make a fabulous sound. They've got a marvelous director. And I went to the pub with them. And so I wanted to know their secret. You know, how have you got these young mums? Because there's a whole load of young mums in there. And they said, it's because we only practice once a month. And the mum said, my husband is prepared to babysit once a month, but he won't do it more than that. But this chorus, they're all going to convention. All the girls know that, you know, they've got to practice. They've got to know their music for when they go in, because it's very high standard. And this club, they advertise via Facebook and Facebook Marketplace. They only advertise once a year, and they get all these people in, and then they go with those people for the year, because there's only obviously 12 rehearsals, because it's only once a month. But yeah, a lot younger. And I thought, well, that's fabulous. You know, maybe that's something to work on.
That's a really great streamlined idea. I know a chorus over here who's meeting quarterly. Now they meet every week online, and they, you know, the director runs a very thorough rehearsal, or the, you know, things like that. But they only get together once a quarter. And usually that's to do a show or a competition, or a show and a competition, or to get together for a retreat. And the primary, I would say primarily retirees in that chorus, but it also, they're not limited to one part of the country. It's an audition kind of invitation only at this point, but they open it up that you can live anywhere, because as long as you're willing to travel to that point of, you know, meet once a quarter, then you can join their rehearsals anywhere. So I'm so inspired by the creativity of music directors, which, by the way, it took me the entire conversation to realize MD was music director. I want to put an MD after my name, because in the United States, that would mean we're a doctor. But I'm just going to put MD, and I'm just going to say, yeah, I'm an MD. And they'll be like, are you?
Crim's MD.
Like,
I'm a music director. Yeah.
I like it. Chris Adams, MD. You know, so I just, for all the other listeners that might be as slow as I was, music director, MD. There it is.
Well, in England, you know.
But hearing that choruses are being flexible and finding creative ways to bring in young mothers, because that's what happens. Women are, you know, you look at our choruses, our music programs in school, and it's overrun with girls. Oh, and then where do they go? Oh, well, I've got to stay home and babysit my own kids. And
how many times have we talked about this on this podcast, Amanda? It comes up, because it's vocal perspective, it comes up in every aspect, genre, niche, corner of acapella, everywhere. This is a common theme.
Women should not have to give up something that brings them so much joy because they also have to care for another human being. So kudos to any chorus or club that is out there making it possible, in a, whether, you know, providing childcare at rehearsal, you know, everyone just bring their babies and let them play and be barber babies and have barber aunties and uncles and just make it a space so women don't have to love chorus all through school and then rediscover that they really loved music when they're like 50 and their kids are out of the house. Like, I just love the creativity that we see. And also, men, you are not babysitting your own children.
Thank you. It's called fatherhood. Just do it.
Well, it was quite funny because I went to Phoenix and there was a quartet from the UK. Well, there were two quartets from the UK went, but Fortuity came 12th and they were able to be in the finals of the quartet competition. And they've been together for a long time. And one of them has a child who's now 3. And the night before, we were out with this 3-year-old because the father couldn't come over, you know, and this 3-year-old has got 4 mothers, you know, and it was, the relationship she had with those 4 women was just absolutely wonderful. It was just really sweet. Yeah. So they were making it work and the father did come the next day so that they were able to do the competition without worrying. Yeah.
I think that's a great PSA to other mothers out there to say, you know, that guilty feeling you feel in your gut when you bring your kids with you, other people don't always feel that way. Like, if you communicate to them, like, I need help, I want to do this. I used to bring my kids to rehearsal and they would sit in a little room and color and do their thing. And everybody was so kind. And I would have this like guilt in the back of my mind that my kid was bothering other people. But they would always come up and reassure me and say, oh, it's so great to see, you know, little Claire out there playing, or it's so great that your kids love music. And all of that guilt that I was feeling was I put on myself. I needed to remind myself that people know I'm a mom. And they
we had our rehearsal on Sunday. And one of the mothers was, you know, her husband and her other children went away. So it was just her and her daughter. And she came and she's probably 5 or 6, 7, 6 years old. And she sat quietly for most of the rehearsal. And then, you know, and we're preparing for contest. Like, this is what people would think was a really serious time for us. And her daughter had just like this like big pillow stuffed animal. And she started throwing it around the room. Her mom just looked mortified. And all of us were like, oh, isn't that cute? Like, we can't wait till she can sing with us. Are you ready to sing with us? And it's such a culture a good thing.
You know,
for
it's
your
a culture.
Kids. Yeah.
It's a culture thing. And when I say culture, I don't mean like, you know, cultures in the world. I mean, it's your chorus culture. It's really important. And I think you'll find that group. There are other groups that are super serious and super strict, and that's their culture. You don't have to morph into that. There are other people and other organizations that can help you find that. And I don't think either is wrong. I just think it's more. All right, ladies, what haven't we covered?
Well, I was going to say that, you know, in the UK, now that mixed singing is taking off, you know, that they're doing that same kind of a rehearsal schedule where they meet once every 3 months, you know, in a certain part of the country, you know, and they all come together and they'll do either a whole day or they do a weekend's rehearsal. And, you know, over in Ireland, you know, one of our groups from the UK came over and participated there. And, you know, another one went over to Sweden. And then when I was talking to, you know, Leonie Vink of Holland Harmony, you know, that's what No Borders, who were in Phoenix, that's how they rehearse as well, you know, once a month or something. You're sent the teacher tracks, you learn it all at home, you know, and then when you get together, you need to know what's going on. So I think it's becoming more and more popular. So, yeah, I think that it's growing. I really do think that barbershop is growing. The love is all around, I think.
Well, and a lot of it, I want to thank you for being part of the global leadership that is allowing this culture to be more inclusive, more forward-thinking, more member-centric. And I think, you know, after the last couple of years as a global community, we need those things. So I appreciate all of the things that you're doing. I'm so excited. And honestly, Chris and I, our chorus in 2019 won the Labs trophy. And now I'm especially sad to have to give it back in 2 weeks. I want to hold on to it for another year, even though it's been in our possession for 3 years. I'm like, I want to keep it now.
Oh, they wrote to me recently.
And I'll just have to win it again.
Yeah, they wrote to me and asked me if I was going to be there to give the Labs trophy, but our education director, Alison Thompson's going, so she'll be handing out the...
I can see Alison again.
Ah, excellent. Oh, well, Chris, I'll tell her that I've been speaking to you. She'll be delighted to
if
see you.
If you mention Epic Quartet, I think I gave her one of my CDs. If I didn't, I owe her one, but I think she would know. I think she was there actually when Epic won. I'm not 100% sure, but we won in Orlando in 2013. And I don't know.
She was there. She was
2012 or something.
There.
Yeah, I remember her. So yeah, she was one that was sitting next to us and it was great.
She's coming with her daughter, who's also a really great barbershopper. She sings with the White Rosettes. I went up to Leeds last week to see the White Rosettes, and she was in the front row, and it was just fabulous. And she and another young lady were right in the front of this wonderful chorus. Yeah, absolutely amazing. So,
Jeff, I can't wait.
Yeah, she'll be pleased to see you, I'm sure.
Well, and we can't wait to be able to have you back at Harmony Inc. or for us, you know, hint, hint, Acaville board, please send us, you know, we'll have
that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, hey, we could bring the Labs to the US, you know, we could stream it and be there and interview. I mean, come on, Acaville, Amanda and I are willing to go. Like, we're
manifesting it right
before it's right before our convention. We can do both. We're totally capable.
Absolutely.
Well, I think that's it. Alison's doing our convention this weekend, and I think she's got to pack and immediately fly over to your convention. So yeah, she's very excited about that. And yeah, I know when I was talking to Kelly in Phoenix, she was saying how exciting it's going to be, your convention again. You know, fabulous.
It's going to be a jam-packed week. So, Cavill listeners, join up and come join all the fun on the live broadcast. We're really excited.
Oh, well, it's been lovely. Yeah,
hopefully you can tune in a little bit too.
If you guys feel like joining up to support Harmony Incorporated or hear some good choruses and quartets, it's a pretty light fee, in my opinion. I think it's $59, and that gets you the whole convention and everything from the showcase or the opening ceremonies, I believe, right, Amanda? Everything. Contest. All the contests will be streamed. There's even
you're
going
to see
to
a lot of Chris Adams.
A lot of me with my big old crown.
She's hosting the webcast portion.
Oh, excellent.
But
when we were in Charlotte, lots of people in the UK were watching the live stream of BHS. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be surprised if
we're going to try.
So
we're
going
to try to get all those people.
And the best news is Acaville is doing it. So we have arranged to put up a rebroadcast. So Wednesday's event will be up on Thursday on demand. Thursday will be up by Friday. Friday will be up by Saturday. And anyone that subscribes, so like if it's in the middle of the night when you're sleeping, the next day you'll be able to see it and rewind and watch it on demand for, I think it's at least 2 weeks, if not a month. So you'll be able to see the whole thing.
Okay. That's
even
pretty
if
cool.
You're sleeping or at work.
Oh, well, I wish you girls a lot of luck with it. I bet you'll have,
you'll
have a wonderful time.
It'll be my first time hosting like a webcast. So...
Well, that's it. I've been looking.
But we should.
It'll be my first time in front of 2,000 people speaking. So
you're going to be amazing. You already did it. You're going to be amazing. I'm so proud of you.
Well, Natalie, I know you have to run off to get ready for your convention and, you know, actually sing with your chorus, a woman of many talents. So this has been an amazing hour. I'm so excited. It's so nice to feel excited about how barbershop is growing again, how barbershop is reigniting that spirit. And I can just feel it from you. I wish our audience could always see Chris and I, because we sound so quiet on the podcast, but really like we're sitting here with our eyes like saucers. But Natalie, it was so lovely to meet you.
Agreed.
And I can't wait to be at a convention with you. Now that I know I was actually in the same room with you, I'm like, okay, next time we have to actually say hello.
That would be lovely, Amanda. And Chris, it's been so lovely to meet you both. And, you know, actually, the world's being made smaller by barbershop. You know, we can all share this and enjoy our lovely hobby together, can't we?
Agreed.
I can't wait.
And to everybody else, I hope we'll have another episode and we'll see you next Tuesday.